great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Hello, world. We're back after taking Election Day off. Hope you got out to vote. Welcome to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger. Once again, here on another Tuesday night during the quote-unquote, or nearing it, off season, if there is such a thing, and welcome you to another busy show. If you want to interact with us, you can email the show at tj@tjslideways.com, also on our Facebook fan page for tjslideways.com, and also at tjslideways on Twitter, all the different ways you can interact with us. Big show tonight. It's going to be a couple of heavy-hitting guests. We have Jason Cox, the 2010 Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Series champion, is going to join us. Also, the winner of the Magic Man 34, fresh off the plane from Australia, Davey Ray. Davey will talk about his win in Australia and also some of the changes coming up in the midget division this year. Also, a couple of reminders, fans, don't forget the Rumble and the Expo at the Fort Wayne Memorial Coliseum on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day this year for 2010. Also, the Racing with D.O. party going to take place. And also, another new sponsor, SprintCarClassifieds.com. If you have sprint car stuff to sell or you're looking to buy some stuff, go to the only site completely dedicated to buying and selling sprint car items, SprintCarClassifieds.com. So now that the business is out of the way, let's get ready to talk about what's happening.
The latest dirt.
The latest dirt that happened this past weekend. The World of Outlaws World Finals, of course, that appeared live on Speed on Saturday night. And after the preliminary night got rained out on Friday, Jason Meyer swept both features on Saturday on his way to claiming his first World of Outlaw championship. We want to congratulate Jason and his entire crew. He's worked hard coming up through the ranks. We've worked with Jason mainly when he was with the Gumout series, but he still has made a good impact in our area. A lot of our racers still talk about how friendly and how they could go to him for questions, and he's even sold some of the team's flat wings when they didn't have a flat wing for a reasonable price to compete that night. And I know he's helped out a bunch of people, and he's a really nice guy. It's good to see someone like that win the World of Outlaws championship. the USAC National and CRA Sprint Car Series were at the Paris Auto Speedway this past weekend, with Levi Jones and Damian Gardner taking the preliminary wins for the Paris Oval Nationals before Chris Windham wired the 40-lapper on Saturday night. Of course, the Kokomo Speedway champion claiming the win out there at Paris. Their next event at the Tulare Thunder Bowl this Saturday will wrap up the National Sprint Car slate. The CRA drivers will still have another race at Paris, and of course, the midgets are on that program as well, and they have Turkey Night coming up as well. During that event at Paris, Darren Hagan, just as I had flipped on the webcast, taking a nasty end-over-end tumble, has some injuries. He's going to be out for a little while. If you want to keep up on Darren's progress, there is a Facebook page that you can pull up for Darren Hagan Racing, and you can kind of keep up on what's going on with Darren. Unfortunately, looks like physical therapy checked in with him today, and the family sent x-rays over to Indianapolis. He's still in California, and they're going to see what they're going to have to do next. He has some back injuries and a few other things after that nasty tumble in Paris. Sounds like Brad Loyette's going to fill in for him on the RFMS Motorsports team for the midget, and then on the dirt, and then on the pavement, they got Josh Wise to come in and run Turkey Night. So that's all going on with
the latest dirt.
And of course, the Sprints on Dirt banquet is this Friday night at the Firekeepers Casino. That'll be a lot of fun. I'll be emceeing that event. So if you're out there, one last motorsports event for me, at least, before the year's out. Of course, trade shows and such, but we're already looking towards 2011. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. But first, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our first guest, Jason Cox. You're listening to the Open Wheel Spectacular here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit RaceMaxims.com and report any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on RaceMaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature when decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EnginePropartz.com. It pays to know a pro Engine Pro. To the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
My first guest tonight was the Rookie of the Year and champion this season with the Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Series. Also, Rookie of the Year with the Musty Extreme Sprint Car Series second generation driver joining us, Jason Cox. Congratulations on pulling off quite a feat. Not many people can pull off a Rookie of the Year and a championship in the same season.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's definitely an accomplishment that I'm definitely proud of. And it's one of those things where you kind of grow up as a kid and kind of dream of becoming a rookie of the year and doing the championship in the same year. Some you just kind of throw out there and don't think you really can achieve it, but I actually did this year, so that's pretty cool.
Of course, with the Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Series. Now, you had done some dirt racing and stuff before this, before you had followed your dad into the wing pavement stuff. Why did you decide to, this season, come off the dirt and get on the pavement?
Yeah, I started out in the non-wing dirt cars down around the Indiana area. The real reason why was back in 2008, I crashed real bad and flipped about 8 times at Kokomo, and it was just cheaper for us to put a pavement car together and go racing that way instead of going dirt car racing again, because of the pavement stuff, you can kind of make money. You can kind of more or less break even if you can run in the top 5 every weekend versus going running the dirt tracks where you can't really, you got to finish in the top 3 at least, and it's hard to do with that.
And, of course, you came onto the pavement, and your dad had done this previously. He's done a lot of winged pavement sprint car racing, too, after kind of following the same route, doing some non-wing dirt stuff. And you got the race against him this year. How was that going against your dad? And we'll get to the Ileana thing after this question.
It's pretty cool because you can kind of say that you race against your dad, and not many people can do that. And it just kind of gives you the extra drive to go out there and beat him, because I know he's one of the better sprint car drivers out there, especially on the asphalt nowadays. And he definitely can help. He can help me out with it and setting up the cars and going over and asking him, hey, what should I do here or that? And it kind of helps out, and that's definitely a big advantage, and I definitely thank him for that. So.
Now, he had a crash at Bearfield earlier this year, really, really scary-looking accident. And he came back to run Ileana, felt he wasn't ready, so they decided to put you in the car. How did that all come about at Ileana, where they decided to put you in the car, and then you went out and won the feature?
In practice session, I went out with our own car, and I lost oil pressure in the second hot lap session. And I got out of my car and just started changing back into my street clothes. And my dad walked over to me and said, hey, put your striding suit back on. I was like, for what? I was like, it doesn't have oil pressure, you know? I mean, I don't want to go out there and run it. I mean, he just said, you're going to drive my car. And I just kind of, my jaw kind of just hit the ground because I wasn't expecting that at all. And so it was about 5 minutes before qualifying. He said, go see if you can fit in the car. And so he scrounged up a whole bunch of padding and tried to bend the seat around me. And went out for qualifying, set quick time over 0.3 seconds, and won the heat race, started 6th in the heat race, and won the heat race by a half a lap, and went out for the feature and started 10th for the feature and won that by at least a half a lap, and lapped all the way up to 5th place. So that was pretty cool to do that.
Do you think that Ileana event kind of boosted your confidence? Is that the springboard that launched you through the rest of the season?
Just that good of a finish and getting all those points from qualifying, the heat race, and the finish, I think that really, that was probably kind of the sealer of it. I mean, just because I was in 6th before going into that night and came out of that night and leading the points. So that was probably one of the big things that actually got me the championship this year.
You also competed as part of Haas with the Must-See Extreme Sprint Car Series this year. They brought pavement sprint car racing to Tate Delayed Television again this year. Do you feel the television is helping the sprint car racing? Have you noticed any where it might help with your sponsors or with your recognition?
It's definitely going to help because, I mean, it's just getting more exposure out there, and there's more teams coming in, like Davey Hamilton. He's getting a team together, and I think it might be some USAC guys with, like, the Casey Kane and Tony Stewart might possibly bring some people in, possibly. But it can hurt it in a way if they don't control on how much, spending-wise. I mean, it's hard to kind of put a cap on that, but it's just sometimes if you get too many big series coming in, you can't really have that small guy come in and can't really afford putting on new brand new sets of tires every time the car goes out. And so, I mean, it should help it, but in a good way, and it could also maybe possibly hurt it.
Yeah, we'll see. Interesting take from a guy who's paid the bills on his own race car, but for 2011, you've got some things in the works. It sounds like you are going to be a hired gun next season.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be. It's kind of one of those things over the this summer and halfway through the season, I actually wasn't even really asked anybody for driving next year, but he came to me and asked me to drive for him next year. He's out of Florida. His name is Dick Feeler, and he had Bo Hartley driving for him with the Must See series, and he had asked me to drive for him next year. So that's pretty cool to do that when you're 18 and a hired shoe, and it's kind of cool to do that for next year.
He's not even old enough to go in and have a beer in his native Wisconsin, but he is your 2010 Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Series champion, Jason Cox, joining us. You know, your dad's been doing this a long time. What's your first memory of going to the racetrack?
Ooh, I've been going to the track before I can even remember, to be honest with you. I honestly don't know when the first time I really...
I'm kind of the same way. I've been going so long, too. I can't even really remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's been so many interesting things with, like, USAC and Bloomington. I know one time we were at Bloomington, and there's a creek there. We were playing in the creek with, like, in Speed Weeks, and just had so many different memories with, like, Dave Darling's kids and Tony Elliott's kids. We were always playing together. We were all the same age. And one time we made, like, a mud slide next to a camper with a shower on the side of the camper, and we were spraying the ground down because it was, like, 110 degrees out, and we were just covered in mud and just sliding through the grass and stuff, and that was one of the things that kind of highlight, I guess you could say, that sticks out memorable-wise.
Now, the wing pavement stuff, a lot of our listeners do follow it, but a lot of them are still in areas that don't have this or only travel to this area maybe for Sprint Week or something, but if you had to tell one person, if you're going to go see one horse race at one track, if you can only get the one, which one would you tell them to come out and see and why?
Ooh, that's a tough one there.
We don't ask the easy questions here.
Yeah. I'd have to say Winchester. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite tracks to go to. I mean, just because it's a high bank and a half mile, and the speeds are just so fast there. I mean, you actually do get some pretty close racing throughout the years that we've been going there, and it's pretty cool just to come out there and see how fast they really are. I'd probably have to say Winchester.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment. Winchester's a great place. It really shows off what the cars can do. Also, how does your dad deal with you racing? Did he encourage you to go towards it? Did he try to put everything in your hands to not go racing, or was he kind of indifferent about it?
He pretty much left it up to me. I mean, he wasn't one of those people where you sometimes see at the racetracks where their parents are kind of, they want them to race, but the kids don't really want to, and they kind of just go off and play like the Game Boys or something like that, and they're actually not watching the race and being interested in it, and it's more or less the parents want to race, and they're kind of going through their kids, and so he didn't want to be like that, and he just kind of left it up to me, and I was the one that was kind of bugging my dad about it when I was younger and asked him to race, and he kind of just said, if you want to race, you got to work on your cars and learn everything about it. And he said, I'm not going to do it for you. So it's kind of one of those things where I've always wanted to do it since I was a kid, and now I'm doing it. So it's pretty cool.
And to cap it off with a championship. So when you're not racing, what do you enjoy doing away from the racetrack?
I work full-time at Super Shocks now, so it takes up a lot of my time. But then afterwards, I just usually work on the race car or try and hang out with, like, the buddies or something and ride four-wheelers and just have fun. Try and be a kid at least as much as I can with the time I have.
That's good. So, and with 2011, you know, you got the hired ride and everything. Things are really coming together, and it looks like you've got a great future ahead. Thanks for taking some time for joining us, and have a great holiday season, and we look forward to talking to you again next year.
Yeah, not a problem. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Jason Cox, your 2010 Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Car Champion. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back on the other side with Davey Ray to talk about his big win over at the Magic Man 34. It's a Wisconsin, Illinois-ish kind of night here on the Open Wheel Spectacular. TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer Kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Next up on the docket, Midget Racer, International Man of Mystery, and your winner of Saturday's Mystery Man 34, and he's on the move again, obviously. Davey Ray joining us on the program. Davey, congratulations on the big win Saturday.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It was well worth the trip there just for one race, and I got to thank the DeRosa family for bringing me over to make all that happen.
I was going to say, not many guys make the one-week trip, but this is a big race early in the year with the Magic Man 34 over at the Perth Motorplex. And first off, a lot of people might not know, what if you had to compare Perth to anything we have here, what would you compare it to?
Well, I say the closest track is probably like McCool Junction. It's approximately a half-mile track, maybe a tad bit shorter. But it has quite a bit high banking, similar to McCool Junction there. And, you know, it's right near the ocean, so the water table is up pretty high, and it seems as if the track gets tackier as the night goes on, and sometimes a bit rougher. So it was a heck of a race there last Saturday night, and luckily we came away with the win for the second year in a row.
I was going to say, you really had to work for that thing. You had two or three guys battling for the lead before you finally got top position and motored away.
Yeah, that's true. This year they had a slightly different a way to line up the cars, and basically it was luck of the draw again. So they draw a number for you for your first heat race start, and then they run, actually every car runs a second heat race, and That's an inversion of your first draw. So I got lucky enough to win the first heat race, started in the back again for the second heat, and came away with a win. And from there on out, it was draw a number, which I drew number 10. And so I had to start 10th, and then I had to pick the guy that started next to me, and so on and so forth. So and 34 laps, coming from 10th place, it doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot of time to get to the front, so we really just had to go right away from the start, and luckily we got the lead fairly early, and it was clear sailing from there.
And how did you get hooked up with the DeRosa family?
Well, mainly I owe that to my good friend, Justin Inslee, and Simon Longdew, who built the car. We had raced. First off, I started racing for Aggressor chassis, one of the house cars, which Justin Inslee builds, and that just kind of led to more opportunities. And after seeing one of those quick V8 cars run, the DeRosa family decided to buy a car, and of course they asked for a driver, and Justin and Simon suggested me. That was it.
And the rest is history. Are you going to be going back down there again to drive for him this year?
Yeah, I'm going back to run for the DeRosa family again at the Australian title, which isn't until February, at a new track that I haven't been to before called Lismore Speedway. And I'm looking pretty forward to doing that. We had already won two Australian titles, and looked as if we had one coming again last year until we blew a tire with only a few to go, and you know, unfortunately, we didn't win that one. But as long as we can keep coming back, we're going to keep trying for more.
Now, how do the Australian fans tank to an American winning their midget car or their speed car national title? How does that sit with them when you're coming in from another country and you're winning their national championship?
Well, first off, the Australian fans are very, very good to the Americans. They're happy to see us there, and happy to see, you know, some excitement that we bring to the race. But as far as the competition goes, they're not too happy to see us. And I've taken quite a bit of flack from some of the competitors, as like, you know, we race over 100 times a year and we're fresh off a full season of racing in America, which that gets exaggerated every time I go back. But I've only got around 35 to 40 races in myself this year. So it's not that, you know, we got more experience on them. It's just a combination of things that make things happen. And, you know, the other thing I got to say, the competitors have the opportunity to race just the same as we do here. It's just that they do have to travel like we do. If a driver wants to run sprint cars and midgets in Australia, he could easily run 40 or 50 races a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know from keeping up with it in the winter, it's definitely a way to keep you busy. It keeps us busy around here keeping track of it. And, you know, a lot of people also make the trip down to New Zealand. I assume you'll be doing that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go back down to New Zealand this year, the day after Christmas, which is Boxing Day, and that'll be round one of the International Series. And they can test four rounds in about 2 weeks, and ending in the 50-lap World International race. And that's one that I haven't won yet. We come close. I ran third, and was running fourth 2 years ago, and got black flagged for noise in the same car that I'd driven for three nights previous. So there's been a little controversy at the Spring Speedway over the last few years, but we'll see what happens here. I'm going back to run one of the V8 cars that was at the Chili Bowl last year, just so that everyone listening can relate to the cars. And I've won a couple features in New Zealand with that car alone already. And you know, CRC is our main sponsor for that event. And they're the guys that actually put the money up to bring me down. So we got to say a big thanks to them. And hopefully we can make it a successful one.
Now, comparing Australia to New Zealand, what's the biggest difference when you go to race in Australia versus at Springs for that World Championship?
The flies. No, the flies are the biggest thing. But, no, in all seriousness, Australia is such a large country. You have to travel quite a bit to go to different tracks. And in New Zealand, it's such a small country, there's only a few tracks that you can go to in a short amount of distance. But primarily, you're racing against cars that are very, very similar. It's quite competitive in New Zealand, and there's maybe only five or six regional cars in Australia that are real top cars that can win every race, or that are strong enough to win every race. And, you know, New Zealand, there's probably there's quite a bit more. It seems as if Brad Mosen and Shane Alec and Michael Pickens and some of the guys are always right up top there, but it's pretty tough to beat Mosen and Pickens. And Mosen just set a new track record last weekend at Springs with his brand new King chassis, so he's right on top of his game this year, and it's going to be tough going into their home track and taking any of the wins away.
And midget racing in New Zealand, for a lot of people that don't know, is kind of like king of the heap a little bit over there. It's a really, really big deal.
Yes, it is. In fact, the 50-lapper, when I was there 2 years ago, the attendance alone was nearly 10,000 people there to watch the race. And that's all just as advertised as the Americans versus the Kiwis versus the Australians, and you know, it's a big event. And I think the only guy to win more than one 50 lapper ever is of course our American legend Sleepy Tripp. So Sleepy's won, I think, 8 50 lap events down there, proving his legend right there. And you know, I have yet to win one. Hopefully we can do it this year.
And that answers one of the reasons we love having this guy on. I've known him for years. Davey Ray joining us, very well versed in his midget racing history because his family's been involved with it for so long. So that brings us into the next question, where midget racing has kind of struggled the past couple of years here in the States. And some new things for next year with limiting RPMs and allowing some sealed engines in. Do you think this is a good first step in maybe controlling some of the cost to get some cars back out, or should we be looking at something else?
Well, I really don't know the whole answer to that. Other than history itself has proven any time that they try to save a dollar, you end up spending more. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but I know some of the arguments and dollar figures that people express on the internet, and even against some of you know, the club meetings, the figures are just completely off. You know, you can buy a short track Esslinger engine for around $20,000 brand new, and that is not at all expensive. You know, if an engine cost $10,000, I don't think there'd be 100 midgets at Angel Park next year. So I think it's one of those things where some of the clubs have kind of slacked a little bit in an effort to groom younger drivers into the sport. And, you know, there's a lot more opportunities to drive different cars today than there has been in years past. There's, you know, you got the 600 micro divisions, you got 410 sprint cars nearly anywhere you look that are, you know, a little bit cheaper to run in a regional series. You can buy like a used engine for, you know, $8,000 to $15,000 and run it all season. So there's just so many more opportunities to race today. I really think that's the biggest thing that's hit midget racing.
That's a really good and different answer than we've heard from a lot of places. It makes sense. I mean, you look at all the different things going on. And another thing that happened this year was the kind of ugly divorce of Angel Park Speedway and the Badger series up in Wisconsin. And you were kind of like right in the middle of that, kind of ground zero on that. Do you think that's going to become a little bit better situation this coming year?
Well, we're certainly hoping that it will. And, you know, with some of the new guard taking control of Angel Park Speedway, I think that's a good possibility. The line of communication is open again between Badger and Angel Park Speedway through the new promotion. Chris Wilkie is the new promoter up there. And I believe you'll see Badger back up there again on more of a regular basis. It's not going to be a weekly program like it has been, but, you know, there's certainly some reconstruction that needs to go on in the Badger series in order to, you know, get some more cars. And, you know, they're having a meeting up there at Dwight Houston's place here tonight. So maybe they'll get their buddies together and see what they can come up with in order to try to gain some more cars.
And one thing I've noticed they're going to do is similar to what the Power I series has done. They're going to run 600s as a support division. Do you think that's a good idea to help get people into the midgets?
I think that's an excellent idea, and I think it's about 5 years too late. And, you know, my personal opinion is the fact that there's already a mini sprint division up here in our area. That's a strong division. And I think that Badger should have either grabbed onto that or grabbed onto the IRS series or something that was already in existence before they just announced that, hey, we're, guess what, we're going to run 600s now. And there really isn't one car in all of northern Illinois or Wisconsin. So, you know, now what they've got to do, instead of trying to sell their midget club, they got to try to sell their 600s. And, you know, I just don't see that as a strong move in order to try to fix something that's broke. But something needs to be done. I'm glad that they're making steps towards doing it. I just wish that maybe we had something in, you know, in motion already to try to help out. You know, like I said, the IRS division brought between, and I'll produce some swing numbers here, but between 15 and 25 midgets every time they came to Angel Park Speedway. And, you know, that's about the same amount of cars that we have been missing. So if they could, if, you know, a club can bring in the range of 40 midgets of any type to a division and put on an entertaining show, I think that's the way to go.
And the sportsman midget's a something that's pretty regionalized around the Illinois and Wisconsin area. For our listeners that might not know, what is the difference between a sportsman midget, you know, high level between the sportsman midgets and the regular midgets?
Well, they run some production-based engines primarily that guys can, you know, build in their own garage, which is another thing that's kind of lacking in the National Midget Series. So it's on a slightly cheaper scale with the engines and also with the tire rules. You can run it's only one tire that you can run, and it's a narrow tire that promotes maybe not so much big horsepower engines and such. But in fact, it's a group of guys that have been involved in midget racing in Illinois for quite some time. And, you know, maybe they've been pushed out by the high expensive engines and they've wanted to keep their cars going. But I support that series 100%. And I just wish that it could have, you know, kind of merged into the Badger Midget series a little bit in efforts to see some of those guys move on or move up into the midget ranks and grow our car count back.
And I agree with that. That's an excellent explanation. And, you know, we're kind of coming to the end of 2010. 2011's on the horizon. What do you have working here in the States for next year?
For myself here in the States right now, I'm working on several different things. I'm going to have my own car again that I'm going to campaign throughout the season with any club, quite frankly, USAC, Angel Park, and Power I. And I'm also going to campaign a second car for a lease or rental program to help, you know, kind of a younger driver and to groom his skills. And right now we're looking at kind of a schedule and to see how many races we can run. And, you know, I'm not just limited to one person on that. So if anybody's interested, we'll have a first-class operation ready to go racing this summer.
And
you'll see our operation at the Chili Bowl this year.
That's where I was just, you beat me to the punch there. I was just going to ask you if that's the car you're going to take down to Tulsa or not.
Yep, yeah, we're definitely going to Tulsa. I'm going to have three cars in my stable. Dr. Kenny Love's providing me with a car out of Lincoln, Nebraska, and that's the one that I'm going to drive. And then I'm going to have, for sure, two cars, working on a third, Cameron Hagen will be one of my drivers, who did a fine job for me down there at Granite City at the end of the year. And, of course, I'm going to have Jimmy Light as well. So Jimmy Light is my sister's boyfriend. So, you know, somewhat a family member there. And we're putting a package together to see if we can move him up into the AMA this year.
That's a pretty cool deal. And Jimmy's pretty good shoes coming out of the Focus cars and, from out east. He's a pretty good little shoe. I think he will do good for you.
Yep. He's won some sprint car races and race midgets in the past. And he did pretty well at the Chili Bowl here the last two seasons. Just didn't quite make it as far as he wanted to make it. And we're going to try to help him out, see if we can do a little bit better this year.
Well, Davey, I really appreciate you taking time out to join us tonight, because we did take a big chunk of your time, but a great interview as always, and congratulations on the win, and good luck with all of your international travels and the Chili Bowl coming up.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can talk again after Chili Bowl or New Zealand and have some good news.
That's what I'm hoping for, too. Davey Ray joining us. We're going to take another break, but when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to meet great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the Fifth Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature win utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim racer kit. Maxim chassis, made in the USA.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering innovative programs and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Of course, don't forget, race fans, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Rumble the Expo at the Fort Wayne Exposition Center. We're going to have guests coming up over the next few weeks associated with that event. We're going to have promoter on Tony Barhorst along with some of the competitors. So Rumble the Expo coverage going to start really kicking off over the next couple of weeks. And, of course, if you're trying to unload that sprint car equipment or maybe just looking to buy something new, SprintCarClassifieds.com, two great supporters of TJSlideways.com and the Open Wheel Spectacular. You've heard tonight from Jason Cox and Davey Ray, and Davey and I were talking off air, and actually he is going to be flying in from New Zealand directly to the Chili Bowl. So there's your working racer for you, packing the bags, traveling all over the place to get the job done. A couple of congratulations. need to go out. Butch Daugher, for getting inducted into the Michigan Motor Sports Hall of Fame. Of course, Butch built those jet rod roadster cars that dominated USAC pavement racing and a lot of super modifieds and even some more modern pavement sprint cars that have been dominant over the years, and long overdue to see him get inducted. And also Fred Alberts from the Sprints on Dirt getting a Lifetime Achievement Award over at the Michigan Motor Sports Hall of Fame banquet in Mount Pleasant on Sunday. So congratulations to both those guys getting hardware over there at Mount Pleasant, and a great deal going on there. And getting some things around here on the website planned for 2011. We're getting some road trips worked out. We are going to do at least 3 to 5 of our weekend shows next year. And if you weren't around for the Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, we do a weekend morning show on some of our road trips. And right now, tentatively, we're going to do one on Indiana Sprint Week. We do know that. Probably when the World of Outlaws go to the Eldora for the Kings Royal, we're going to do one then. Those two are pretty sure. If you want us out at your event, email us, tj@tjsideways.com. We'll come on out the morning of. We'd like to do it in 2-day increments, you know, if possible, so we can do like maybe a Friday morning show and a Saturday morning show. But we want to know what you, the listener, wants us to, what you want us to go out and see, and who would you like to see morning event and special event coverage from. Let us know, tj@tjsideways.com, and we'll try to make that happen. Also, don't forget, on the website, we're running a poll right now on how you watch racing on television. When sprint cars, midgets, and supercars are on television, do you watch it live? You know, even if it's a tape show, do you watch it first air? Do you watch it, do you DVR it like I do? Or you just not even bother, just, you know, skip the television and go right to the racetrack? Personally, I've become kind of a DVR person. Television people don't want to hear this, but I'll even not fast forward through the ads necessarily. It's the stuff that I don't, you know, on the downtime. And if it's not necessarily a feature interview I want to listen to, I'll go ahead and fast forward through it. I watched the World Finals like this. I watched it the morning after. I had stuff to do the night of the World Finals, but I wanted to see the broadcast, caught on the DVR, fast forwarded through a lot of the preliminary events, and watched the AMA. I tend to sometimes fast forward through events and listen for interviews and stuff for quotes and information. It's kind of backwards of what most race fans do, but I'm a very heavy DVR user. I can't even remember the last time I actually watched a race probably in progress live. I'd say I think it's probably the Prelude to the Dream. It'd be about the only one I've watched as it was going. I don't think I watched Daytona this year like that. I think I gave it a 2-hour head start, so it might be a generational thing, I don't know, but that's kind of how I tend to do it. But more has to do with my schedule and not wanting to be tied down to something, you know, especially on television. I mean, there's, you know, it's 60 degrees outside today in November in Michigan. I'm not going to be caught inside watching television. So, and next week, already working on the show, Tony Veneziano, stumbled over that twice, from the World of Outlaws is going to join us next week. We're going to wrap up their season, and still have feelers out to a couple of other guests, but looking for another great show. Wrapping things up here on behalf of everyone on racesontheweb.com and tjslideways.com, thank you for listening to this week's Open Wheel Spectacular. We'll be back here again on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, or if you can't catch it, you can catch us on podcast, on iTunes, and on the website, or you can listen on the website on demand to any of our shows. Just look for the player, select the show, hit play. You can listen to it on demand anytime. Thank you for listening, and have a good evening.
You've been listening to the